Don't be discouraged with trouble in your life. He'll bear your burdens and move all misery and strife. That's why we
come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord, trusting in His holy word. He's never failed me yet.
Just the other day, I heard a man say he didn't believe in God's word. But I can say that my God has a way. He's never failed me yet. Thank God we
going to preach a message out of 1 Corinthians in regards to two things that are consistent in local independent fundamental Baptist churches. And I'm not going to do that because God led me in a different direction. But I do want to say this. In every local independent fundamental Baptist Bible-believing church, you're going to find two things that are always consistent. Number one, they all have a command from God to go and preach the gospel to every creature, according to Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So every local church that has Christ's name on it has been given that mandate. Now, whether they practice that mandate is a different story. But every local church has that one fundamental thing in common. The other fundamental thing that's in common is something that I think you can all agree with, and this is consistent in every independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. They all have a command to go, but they also have a collection of gripes, grievances, and grumbles about something. Somebody say amen on that one.
Amen.
Why? We're people. We're human. We're sinners. You're going to find that consistent. Every church has been commanded to go. And every church has problems. You cannot get around it because people have problems. And every church has people. And with people come problems. And so every local church is going to be consistent on those two fundamental factors. They have a command to go, and they have a collection of gripes and grievances and grumbles about something. Unfortunately, it's true. You say, preacher, how do you know it's true? It was true in Jesus' church. Jesus was the head of that church, and Judas was a devil. Peter was a loudmouth. Thomas was a doubter. James and John were hotheads. They were angry, going to burn up a whole city because they didn't recognize Jesus. And on we could go with that crowd that Jesus had. The early church had its problems. And we find it here at Corinth. They had their problems, and unfortunately, it's going to be in our churches in 2016 as well. The sooner we come to grips with that, the better off we're going to be. There's always going to be gripes, grievances, and grumbles about something. The thing that we can do is make sure that I'm not a part of that. Can I get an amen on that one? Amen. You know, at your job, you don't want to be the grumbler or the griper or the complainer or the bellyacher. In your school, you don't want to be the griper, the complainer, or the bellyacher. In your family, you don't want to be known as that person. And so knowing that it was in Jesus' church, it was in the early church, it's in the Corinthian church, it's in our churches as well. It's the nature of sinners, even though saved by grace, to gripe and complain. Communion, or the Lord's table, then, is that time to remember what Christ did for us on the cross and dying for our sins and deal with our sins and have a time of communion. In other words, it should cause me to get right with God to have the communion I need to have so I can have the right fellowship in the church. Can I get an amen on that? And that's what communion is designed to do. It's designed to get you and I to recognize that this is what Jesus did for me. So why am I griping, complaining, and grieving about something? It is to remind me of the great sacrifice that was paid. Now, we know we all have the command to go. That's always consistent. But we're always going to have those gripes. And so I've got to come to grips with those gripes, if you could say that, amen, and deal with it. So in other words, it should get us right with God, which gives way to, yes, you guessed it, revival. When I come to this table, the Bible says clearly that I need to examine myself and then partake of that table. And so that table necessitates me getting right with God before I do it. If I don't do it, then something's going to happen to me that's not pleasant. So keep that in your minds and on your hearts as we go through the details here. Let's notice, first of all, this church at Corinth, because this is the church that Paul has in mind here. And first, we're going to start at verse 17 and talk about their coming together. They're coming together, or they're coming together, whichever the way you want to say it. Notice what Paul says in verse 17. Now, in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not. Now, that's not the way he started the chapter. Notice verse 1 and 2, how he started the chapter. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Now, I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. He said, you know what? You know, I want to praise you guys for something. You have done what I asked you to do. You have really done your dead level best of doing what I asked you to do. You're being followers of me. You're doing some things, and praise God for it. Let me praise you for what you've done. But by the time you come down to verse number 17, he says this. Now, in this did I declare unto you, I praise you not. That you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. He says, so he starts off saying, I'm excited for what you're doing. But now I'm not so excited about this. Why? In every church, you're going to find those two consistents. The command to go, and then the complaints, gripes, and grievances. They're coming together. Paul detailed what was going on. Notice verse 17. He said, I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. In other words, he said, you know, what's going on here is not good. For first of all, what were they doing? When you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Paul said, you know, I'm going to detail what's going on. He said, you know, there's some divisions that are going on there. And he said, I partly believe it. And then he says this. He says, for there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. Now, in other words, what he's saying is that there's going to be those that aren't doing right to expose those that are doing right. Mm-hmm. Amen. Think about it. If you got two children, one's doing right and one's doing wrong, one's going to be exposed. Would you say so? Amen. The one that's doing right is going to be exposed for doing right by the one that's doing wrong, and vice versa. And so he said, you know what, there's some divisions there, that church that's going on there. And he said, now, let me detail what's going on. The divisions are there. And by the way, some divisions are of God. Y'all say, no, say it ain't so. Remember the tribes of Israel, when God said, okay, Solomon, because you didn't do right, I'm going to split these tribes up. And you had Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And what happened was Rehoboam was going to go and try and get down there and do the they're going to split the tribes up. And so he sent somebody up there and said, look, let's go ahead and fight and get them back. And God said, no, don't do it, because what's happened is of God. Sometimes God allows divisions. There's a quote that I have that I thought was very interesting in regards to that. It said this: some divisions are of God, even though they present problems and cause hurts. For one thing, it says, divisions force people to make decisions, and the decisions they make reveal the kind of people they really are, whether they are people that breed unity or disunity. whether they are people that are loyal or not loyal, whether they are people of integrity or not, whether they are humble people or prideful people, people of character or not, people that are obedient to the pastor or not, people that are submissive or not. Yes, some divisions are of God. They show you where people actually stand. I read that and I thought, wow. Wow. That's interesting. That is very, very interesting. But some divisions are of God. And look at Jacob and Esau. I mean, we can go on and on about examples where there were some divisions that happened. Is it ever God's will that God's people be divided? No, it's never God's will. But it's people's preferences that they make that cause that to happen. And so when you're looking at this, Paul said, you know what, there's some divisions here. And, you know, he said, I can believe that to a degree. And he said, it's so that some people can be approved and made manifest among you. And so the divisions were there, but then there were some differences as well. Notice what he says down in verse number 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. What was going on? They were having what was called a fellowship, if you would. But their fellowship involved a gathering of a lot of food and a lot of other things that went along with that. And they would call it a love feast or some kind of gathering of a eating time when they would have the Lord's Supper as well. You find all the time in the New Testament, they were breaking bread together. They had a meal together. And they often observed the Lord's table at the same time. And so Paul said, you know what, there's some divisions there, but there's some differences as well. And what was going on here is that the people that had did not wait for the people that did not have, nor did they share. And so they actually gorged in the face of people that didn't have anything. That sound like that's a fun place to be? Is that a place for the Lord's table? And then they were trying to observe the Lord's table with that same thing. Notice what he says down here, the differences. Verse 20, when you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. That doesn't sound like the Lord's table to me. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. So Paul said, you know, I don't have any encouragement for you about this, because what you're doing in showing your differences is not right. And this love feast that you're having and trying to incorporate the Lord's table in that, God's not glorified in that. God's not honored in that, because there's some people that are drunk, there are some people that are still hungry, and you could have done that at home. And so he said, this is not right. And so he says, you know, there's a problem in what you're doing. There's divisions amongst you, but there's also some differences being shown amongst you. You're being partial. And so he said, no, that's not good. So they're coming together. But then notice the command given in verse 23. Paul not only discussed detail what was going on, he discussed now what should be going on by way of my directions. He said this in verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. So he lets them know, you know, these are my directions. This is what should be going on. This is what happened. And now these are my directions, but this is Jesus' directives. Notice verse 24. And when he had given thanks and break it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you do drink it in remembrance of me. So Paul said, you know what? I detailed what was going on. There's these divisions going on. He said, that's not right. There's some differences going on. That's not right. But let me tell you what should be going on. These are the commands that I'm giving. My directions are, notice what Jesus did and notice what he directed. And he said, do this in the bread and in the cup. And so he lets them know clearly, this is what's going on. Now, again, Paul loves this church. He loves these people. This is a church that he started. But he found out that some things were going wrong. Again, people come with problems. It's a fact. But what should bond and bring the people together? The common knowledge that Jesus died for you, just like he died for me. The common knowledge that the blood that was shed for me was shed for you. The common bond that the body that was bruised for you was bruised for me. And so when I come to this table, it's not to have a division. It's not to have a difference. It's to understand the directions and directives given to focus on He who matters most. And when I look up, guess who I don't see? I don't see your divisions or your differences. I don't even see you when I look up, because my focus is on He who died for me. And so Paul is trying to make it very clear to this church that what's going on here is not good. I started you as a church, and you guys have these issues, but one of the issues that you should not have is coming to the Lord's table. And what you're doing is a mockery. And so he begins to get on them about that. So after giving them, talking about their coming together, and then the command given, he gives them the caution given in verse 27. Verse 26, he says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." He said, when you actually do it right, when you follow Jesus' directives, and when you follow my directions as to what should be going on, what you're going to actually do is portray, give a pictorial of the Lord's death till he comes. So every time you do this, what you're doing is showing the blood that was shed for you and the body that was bruised for you. And he said, every time you do this, you're showing the Lord's death. You're showing a funeral, in other words. You're showing what happened. And here's the caution given. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," that's irreverently or in an unworthy manner, "shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." As we studied Jonah and chapter 2 in particular, Jonah had 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale to examine himself, find out why he was where he was. This is our time to reflect, to see why are we where we are. And it's our time to look up to the one who died for our sins and say, "Lord, I am where I am for my own free choice." And then I need to ask God, the same blood that was shed for me, and say, "Lord, forgive me for being away from you and recognizing what you did. Forgive me of my gripes and grievances and grumbles. And Lord, forgive me of my division. Lord, forgive me for my differences. And Lord, I've had my eyes on people, and my eyes should never be on people. My eyes should be on you." Yes, Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." But guess where Paul's eyes are at? Paul's eyes were up on Jesus. And so Paul says, I'm going to give you some caution here. Examine yourself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And I always like to put this insert in there. It is not to examine myself and then not partake. It's to examine myself and confess my sin before God and then partake. Because he says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. It does not say let a man examine his brother. It does not say let a man so examine his sister. It does not say so let a man examine those that are around him. It doesn't say anything like that. It says let him examine himself. Why? The power of one. Your revival depends on what you do with God and with Jesus Christ. The power of one. You can't blame it on anybody else. This is you. This is you and I. And by the way, the blood was shed for you. And so he says, so let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, in a worthy or irreverent manner, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so that's why I always tell you that we don't have the communion police. You're a grown up. Parents, you're in charge of your children. You know your children better than anybody. So you know which one of your children probably should partake of the Lord's table, probably which one shouldn't. And so your children are in your care or in your custody. But when it comes to you, we're not going to say, well, you know, you can't have any because you're not right with God. Who am I to tell you that you're not right with God? That's between you and the Lord. And so every man's got to examine himself. And he says, if I do it unworthily, I'm going to drink damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now, again, who is this written to? The church at Corinth. Why? Because of their divisions. Why? Because of the differences. Why? Because of the things that they allowed to creep in that took them away from the Christ that who died for them. Verse 30, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He says many folks here are sickly. They have no strength. They have no health. Their life is not what it should be. And he said, you know, some are even asleep. That means they have died. So he said they're weak, they're sickly, and some have even died. They've gone home prematurely to be with the Lord, and they shouldn't have gone. Sleep is one of those euphemisms that means to die in Christ. For the believer, we don't actually die. We just sleep temporarily until we get our glorified body. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Praise God for that. And so he says, you know, I'm going to give you this command about gathering together, and be careful of the divisions. Be careful of the differences. My directions are such. Jesus' directives are such. I'm going to give you some caution that you need to watch out, because, you know, if you don't do this right, then you can be weak and you can be sickly, and you might even go home to be with the Lord. The conclusion given, verse 31, for we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. He says, if you do it, God won't have to, because the judgment is squarely listed there in verse 30. And the cause of judgment is squarely listed in verses 28 and 29 and 27. And he said, now, if you would examine yourself and judge your own self, then you're not going to be judged. But he says, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. He said, God has no problem in chastening you if you don't deal with your own self. And that's why he says, let a man examine himself. By the way, I answer for me, but I also answer for my family. Men, you answer for you, but you also answer for your family. And each one of us has to answer to the Lord for us. And so, as we go to the time of examination, make sure that you're absolutely right with God. Why? This church wasn't. And this church had people, and the people had problems. Shining Light Baptist Church has people, and the people of Shining Light Baptist Church are going to have problems. But guess what? They don't need to remain problems, because they can be solved by looking at the cross and finding out that Jesus handled everything at the cross, and he made the playing field even. Wherefore, my brethren, he says in verse 33, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. Paul says, let me give you some more corrective instructions. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And that the rest will I set in order when I come. Paul said, there's some other things that I really need to address, but I'm not going to address them now. But I will tell you about your divisions. I will tell you about your differences. I will tell you about my directions, and I will tell you about the directives, and I will caution you, and I will give you a conclusion that if you don't do it right, there are going to be some more weakly, some more weak, and some more sickly, and some more sleeping. So now that we know what Paul had to deal with this church on, now we know what we have to deal with. Because we are coming to the same time that the Corinthian church came to. We have some of the same problems that they had here. And we have to come to the conclusion that if there is a problem going on, I've got to solve that before I come to this table. And if there's an issue in my life, I've got to lay it at the feet of Jesus Christ and get my eyes right back on he who died for me and where they ought to be. And so the Lord's table then should be a time of revival. It should be a time that I get right with God and I leave thoroughly convinced that I left it at the feet of the cross, and I'm going to go out of here revived and on fire for God. Because revival, communion says, I've dealt with my sin. And so I don't have a problem when I leave here. And so communion should be one of the happiest times once it's concluded. It really should be. If it's not a happy time once it's concluded, then I didn't do business with God, because I should be confessed up. The church at Corinth had to deal with this. Now, Paul doesn't tell us what happened after the fact. He just said, this is what I want you to do. He didn't address that in chapter or in the second letter that he wrote there in 2 Corinthians. But he does address it here to the church at Corinth. So I'm of the persuasion that they must have gotten that part right, because Paul did not readdress this issue. I'm of the persuasion that Shining Light Baptist Church should get this one right, because we don't want to address that issue. And so before we go into the Lord's table, we saw the coming together, the command given, and the caution given, and the conclusion given. Who is the Lord's table for then, Pastor? It is for those that have been saved, number one. Who is it table for? Those that have been baptized, number two. Scripturally saved and scripturally baptized. It's also extended to a church member in good standing at another church with no sin in their life that's unconfessed. A church member of like faith. The scripture states, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. I'm going to do what I normally do, and that is have a word of prayer and then have a few moments that you and I may do internal business as we examine our own hearts according to verse number 28. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Confessing our sins to God is what we have to do. If you know you've got aught against a brother or a sister in Christ and God has revealed it to you and they know also, you need to go to them and ask for forgiveness. Now, if you've got aught against your brother and they have no clue, then you just need to confess that to God and get it right. But if you've got aught against a brother or a sister and they know it and you know it, then you need to get that right. Again, the ball is always in your court that has the problem. And so if there is not a knowledge to the other person, then you just have to confess it to God and ask him to remove it and to ask him to cleanse you so that you may go to the table in peace and leave rejoicing and revived in your spirit and in your heart. So I'm going to pray as it says here in verse 28. We're going to do just that. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Why? For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And so heads will be bowed and eyes will be closed, and I want you to do business with God. And you ask God to reveal something to you that needs to be revealed. Why? Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Father, bless these next moments as we reflect upon our own hearts and our own lives. Lord, we see the problems that the Corinthian church had. We see the command that was given to them. We see the problems in our own hearts and our own lives and our own churches here in 2016. And God, if there's an issue, a problem, or a gripe, or a grievance, or a complaint, help us to lay that at the feet of Jesus. But if there is aught against a brother or a sister, and they're aware of that, Lord, help us to get that right tonight. And help us to partake of the Lord's table and have the unity that you would have us to have. All looking to Jesus, not looking at one another. Lord, let each one of us examine his own or herself in the light of the scriptures. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need, Lord. And as we partake of the Lord's table here in a few moments, God, help us to approach it with a time of humility and a time of cleanness and clearness of heart and conscience and mind and soul. Thank you for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's get some silence, and you do business with God, and you let God speak to your heart. We won't be prolonged with that, but we will give you just a few moments. But I do pray that you have enabled us to examine our own hearts, our own lives, and Lord, we've done business before you with the probing of the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And Lord, there's no aught between us or a brother. Lord, there's nothing hindering our walk with Jesus Christ, because we know that we're not right with a brother or a sister. We can't possibly be right with you. And so, Lord, I pray that we've examined ourselves and there's nothing that's unconfessed. And by that, Lord, something that we're trying to hide from you. But Lord, as you know our hearts, you know our minds, and Lord, you know what we're going through even at this very moment. And so I pray that, Lord, as we partake and remember what you did on the cross of Calvary, you might be honored and glorified by this time. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the great price that was paid. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, we're going to have the men to come forward. And I'm going to be reading some scriptures out of Matthew dealing with the Lord's table, Matthew chapter 26. If you want to turn there, you don't have to. But just to let you know, that's the text that I'll be reading from. And I want to say this, like I always say, there is no saving power in the communion elements. Nothing that I say will change the grape juice into the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing that I say has the ability to change the crackers into the body of Christ. Nothing at all. Nothing that anybody can say for that, that as far as that goes, can change that into those elements. The ushers are here, and they're ready to partake of the Lord's table. I will ask you, once the elements are given out, not to partake until we do it collectively. We'll do it in here, and then an usher will go back to the nursery part and let them do it after we're done here. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26 says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples." Father, thank you for the bread that is here that represents your body. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege to come and to remember the great price that you paid for our sacrifice. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to die on a cruel cross, not just for our sins, but as us. And Lord, thank you that we can be redeemed and born again as a result of the life that you gave. In Jesus' name, amen. Bible says he broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples. And so they're going to come around with the elements. Once they do come, take one piece and pass it on, and they'll continue to do so. Bible says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.'" It says, "And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it.'" Father, once again, we do thank you for the blood that was shed for us. And Lord, as the blood was shed for us, we do pray that your hand of mercy may be upon us, that we would recognize, remember, the great price that was paid, a price that we could not pay, but a price that you could and did pay for us because you loved us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Scripture saying, "He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine till that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" If you've got the smaller cups, there's a small hole in front of you. You can put that in that hole if you've got the larger cups. As soon as we're dismissed, if you can deposit those into the trash, that would be a blessing. The Bible says, "When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." We always like to conclude with a song, and so we're going to sing a hymn of Amazing Grace. And just one bar of Amazing Grace. "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Amen. Here we go. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see." Let's go stand to our feet, and we're going to get dismissed in a word of prayer. And if you could, exit the auditorium as swiftly as you can so the ushers can clean up the cups that are there in the pew before you. We'd appreciate that very much. Thank you for being here to partake of the Lord's table. Again, we don't do it often, but the Bible says often as you do it, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. So we have portrayed Christ's death tonight. He died for our sins. And so we can leave here now victorious, knowing that the debt's been paid, sin is done with, and we can leave rejoicing and have a tremendous anniversary service on Sunday and have a tremendous revival service, knowing that we've done business with God and we've acknowledged what he told us to acknowledge, and we can leave here rejoicing. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor.